to that. She's a tough old bat.
Brought you back, right? Praise the Lord, folks, for our final hymn this morning prior to the message. Let's stand and open up our hymnals to 332. This Resurrection Sunday, we need to sing this hymn. 332, were you there? Oh, how we love. Verse 3rd and 4th. Of 332.
This is a powerful
hymn. Yes, indeed.
Were you there when he crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord?
Church, and what a blessing to know that you were there. If you're born again today, you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says you were crucified with Christ, and ye are risen with Him. Amen? Amen. And seated at the right hand of the Father, together with Christ. What a blessing to know that we rose with Him. Glory to God. Well, we'll sing again afterwards, folks. Let's grab our Bibles at this time. For our Sunday morning message, open up to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27 this morning. Matthew chapter 27. And as you're turning there, let me give you this week for what it's worth. From the answer man. Question, does the moon affect the tide? Yes. Answer, no, only the untide. Question, what's another name for a juvenile delinquent? Answer, childhood. Question, what is the fog over Los Angeles called? Bigamist. big mist. Question. What is another name for an iceberg? Answer. A permanent wave. Question. Do we get fur from a skunk? Yes, as far away as possible. Question. How do you make an elephant fly? Answer. Well, first you take a great big zipper. Question. What is the difference between unlawful and illegal? An illegal is a sick bird. Oh, boy. Matthew chapter 27, beloved, this morning, let's stand for the reading of God's word as we get going in Matthew 27. I want to speak to you this morning a message I've entitled, The Seven Openings of the Resurrection. The Seven Openings of the Resurrection in Matthew 27. We'll begin reading in verse 45. Jesus is on the cross. And verse 45 we read, Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, This man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it to drink to him. The rest said, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, amongst which was Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Joseph and the mother of Zebedee's children. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. Go with me to chapter 28 now. Verse 1, In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Beloved, I want to speak to you on the seven openings of the resurrection. Father in heaven, how we thank you for this passage of scripture today. Lord, how we thank you that we're able to sing that song, Were You There? How we thank you, dear Lord, that there was a cross, there was a crucifixion, but there was a resurrection. We're so grateful that you rose from the dead and you did it for our justification, oh God. We love you today. We love the fact that you rose for us personally. We love the fact, Lord, that if one of us were the only person that ever lived, you still would have gone and been crucified and rose from the dead just for us. Lord, we love you and we ask you to bless your word today by your Holy Spirit. Give us understanding in the seven openings of the resurrection. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. Now, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is without a doubt the most important aspect of our faith. 1 Corinthians 15:17. Don't turn there. Paul said, If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea. And we have found false witnesses of God. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And we are of all men most miserable. Verse 20. He says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. Yes, indeed, Paul says he is, present tense, risen from the dead. Amen. I'm so glad we serve a risen, living, coming Savior today. He's alive, Dr. J. Wilbur Smith said, and I quote, the meaning of the resurrection is a theological matter, but the fact of the resurrection is a historical matter. There are 12 separate appearances of Jesus Christ recorded in Scripture after his resurrection. If the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not true, one, then his story would have remained buried with him. Two, the New Testament would make no sense at all. Three, the Bible would be untrustworthy. But listen, in the four Gospels, 28 of the 89 chapters are given to consider the last week of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. During this last week of the Savior's earthly ministry, I've noticed what I consider seven amazing events taking place. I want to share these with you today. The seven openings of the resurrection. Notice first, beloved, the gates of the city were opened. Look with me in Matthew chapter 21. Flip back to chapter 21. The gates of the city were opened in Matthew 21. Look with me at verse 1. I'm so glad that the gates of the city are now open. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, what city? Jerusalem. Amen. And the time out, church. What is the earthly Jerusalem a picture of? What is the earthly Jerusalem a picture of? The heavenly Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all, Galatians 4:23 says, right? So the gates of the city are now open. Look at it. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. That's a good thing to do. And brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when he, Jesus, was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Folks, what I want you to see here in this passage is that the gates of the city were open to the king. Amen? And when the king came into the city, there was a great uproar. I'm so glad today, beloved, that the gates of the New Jerusalem are now open. The heavenly city of Zion is open to all who will enter in by faith. What a blessing to know that the gates of this city are open. But beloved, there's something else that needs to be open. We also must open the gates of our hearts to the Son of God to come in. Amen? Just like this city was open to him, we need to open up our hearts. First of all, the gates of the city were open. Second of all, the new covenant was opened. Back to Matthew 26. I'm so glad that the new covenant was opened on Resurrection Day. In Matthew chapter 26, look with me at verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, that's New Covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Jesus says, I've got good news, boys. The new covenant is opened through my blood. I want you to think about something, church. What if Jesus never came? What if Jesus never went to the cross? What if he never shed his precious holy blood for us? I'll tell you what, the new covenant would never have been ratified. Salvation would not be available to any soul. But I'm so glad that now the new covenant is opened. Jesus says, we're going, boys, from Passover to the Lord's Supper. We're going from the old covenant to the new. We're going from Moses to grace. Oh, from law to the grace of Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, the old covenant was one of rigid law and continual sacrifices. Galatians, go to Galatians chapter 3. Hold your place in Matthew. And flip over real quick. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Verse 23, Paul says, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law, Moses, was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. See, the old covenant, the law, was a rigid taskmaster, like Pharaoh down there in Egypt, whipping the Israelites, you know? And you couldn't be justified by it until Jesus came. The promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe, verse 22 says. So first, the new covenant, the old covenant is of rigid law and ceremony and sacrifice. But the new covenant is one of grace and love. John 3:16, we can all quote. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen? God so loved the world. I'm so glad that the new covenant is of God's grace and God's love for you and I. It's a once-for-all covenant. It's a covenant that is permanent. Hebrews 10:9 says, he taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. From the upper room, beloved, we go to the foot of the cross. I'm so glad that it's now open to all people. Thirdly, I see something else that was opened on Resurrection Day. The Savior's side was opened. Back to the Gospel of John. Go to John chapter 19. Did you know that your Savior's side was split open for you and for me? Oh, beloved, what a Savior we serve. In John chapter 19, look with me in verse 31. The crucifixion chapter, of course. Verse 31 we read, the Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, that's important, besought Pilate that their legs might not be broken, and that they might be taken away. That they would break their legs if they wanted them to die quick. Because on the cross you'd have to lift up to take a breath, okay? And you'd have to use your leg muscles to do that. So if they break your legs, you can't lift up and you suffocate quickly. Verse 32, then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. That's what the scripture prophesied, that not a bone of him should be broken. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Now, notice, when they come to Jesus Christ, they see, number one, he's already expired. He's given up the spirit. And so they break not his legs, but they pierced his side with a spear. And out came blood and water, a picture of the blood cleansing our sin and the water of the Word and the Holy Spirit. What an amazing sight. Think of it. Here is the revelation of God in manifest form taking place of mankind dying for the sins of us all. And they pierce his side with a spear. That's your Savior. Amen. That's who loves you. That's how much he loves you. Think of it. 2 Corinthians 5:21, listen to this verse. For he, the Father, hath made him, the Son, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Wow, what a Savior. I'm so glad that he did it right. 1 Peter 3:18 says, For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Listen, beloved, when Jesus Christ's side was opened, one, the blood of the new covenant was given. Two, it provided redemption for all those who would receive it. Three, it provides forgiveness of sins, Ephesians 1:7. Four, it provided cleansing from sin, 1 John 1:7. Why? Because the Savior's side was opened on Resurrection Day. Fourthly, I see another opening. The Holy of Holies was opened on Resurrection Day. Look with me back in Matthew 27 again. I am so glad that the Holy of Holies was finally opened on Resurrection Day. And there was only one man in the history of the world that could open it. The God-man. Look with me in Matthew 27. Look with me at verse number 50. Verse 50 we read, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. Beloved, if you notice here in verse 51, the veil of the temple was split. But it wasn't split from the bottom up. It was split from the top down. It was the hand of God that split that temple. That thing was 18 inches thick. You couldn't cut it with a pair of scissors, trust me. God opened up that veil. Now listen, what is the tabernacle? What is the temple's Holy of Holies? What is it? What did it represent? Hebrews 9:24 says, For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. The Holy of Holies is a picture of the throne of God in heaven. Amen? Where he sits on the mercy seat. So when the veil of the temple was rent down in twain, in two, and open for all to see, he was saying that heaven is now open for all to come, if they only will. That place once separated the sinner from God is now gone. Ephesians 2:14 says, For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Beloved, he opened the way into the Holy of Holies above for you and me, and for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. I'm so glad the Holy of Holies is now opened. Listen, I see another opening of the resurrection. Number five, the tomb of Jesus Christ was opened. Look at chapter 28 again of Matthew's gospel. The tomb of Jesus Christ was opened. In verse 1, we read, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. That's Sunday. A lot of people are confused about that day. came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. Beloved, I'm here to tell you this morning that the tomb of Jesus Christ was opened on Resurrection Day. He didn't stay shut up in there. You couldn't, death couldn't hold him, man. You know, they see that sign, they have that saying, you can't keep a good man down, you can't keep God down. Amen? You can't keep God down. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is foundational to Christianity. It is necessary to believe it if we are to be saved. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he says, If thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath what? Raised him from the dead. Thank you, sister. Raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You cannot bypass the resurrection of Jesus Christ and go to heaven. You've got to believe it. First, it proves his deity. Only God could raise himself from the dead, right? Two, it proves his power. Do you know what kind of power it would take to go down to the cemetery here and make one of them people come alive? Think about that. Three, it proves God's acceptance of the sacrifice. If God the Father did not accept that atoning blood, he would have stayed down. Amen? Four, it proves, listen, that he had a literal bodily physical resurrection of his physical body. Listen, you cannot be saved if you don't believe that. That's why I love this Sunday. Of all the Sundays, I get to preach about his resurrection. It is foundational to the Christian faith. I see something else that was open, though, on that day. The graves were opened. Look with me in Matthew 27 again. Look at verse 53. Graves were opened. Look at this. We serve quite a Savior. In verse 52, we read, and the graves were opened. Wow, I'm not making this up. Look, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Could you picture this scene? People had held their funerals. People had wept and sorrowed over their dead loved ones. And they all of a sudden come out of the cemetery and come walking in. Hey, I'm awful hungry. What do you got to eat, you know? Wow! The graves were opened, showing us that death hath no power over the Son of God. I am so glad that he comes to give life to the dead. And I'm so glad that I received that life. Listen to me. He purchased redemption for the saints of old, as well as the saints of the new. In Luke 16, I preached on it a couple of weeks ago. Lessons from a Lost Soul. Anybody heard that message on the website? You got to get that one. Lessons from a Lost Soul. And it's all about how Lazarus, the beggar, died. But he didn't go to heaven because heaven's gates weren't open yet till Jesus rose from the dead. He went to a place called paradise in the center of the earth, Abraham's bosom. But when Jesus Christ died, go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Real quick, I want to show you this. What happened after Jesus rose from the dead? Look at this in Ephesians chapter 4. Real important to understand what he did for the saints of the Old Testament. See, the saints of the Old Testament, when they died righteous, in a state of righteousness, they couldn't go to heaven, because Jesus didn't die for their sins yet. So they went to Abraham's bosom, father of the faithful, until the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, there was 3 days. He went down and preached the gospel to the Old Testament saints. And guess what? They all received him. Here's our king, the Son of God. Of course they received him. And he did something with them. Look at this. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he's going to quote Psalm 68, which is a prophecy of the resurrection, a prophecy of what he did after he died on the cross. When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, look at verse 8 where it says he led captivity captive. Somebody was captive somewhere. And he took them with him back to heaven. That is the Old Testament saints which were in Abraham's bosom, okay? That's captivity. He brought them captive to heaven. Now, he gave gifts unto men, the Holy Spirit. Now that he, Jesus, ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Why? Why did he do that? Jesus had a mission. After he died on the cross and paid the penalty for sin, he had to go to Abraham's bosom to take something with him back to heaven. Look at it. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Jesus had to be the first to rise from the dead, okay? And he had to be the first to enter the glorious gates, the pearly gates of heaven, all right? But after he did, behind him was a whole trail of Old Testament saints, and they came to be with him in heaven. They're there today. Now, this is important to understand. One day, all graves will be opened, okay? All of the graves of those who received God's Son shall be opened for glorification. But all of the graves of those who died without Jesus Christ will be opened in order to stand before the great right throne for judgment of sin. Okay? I'm so glad that the graves were open. What a passage. I see something else that was open. Finally, seventhly, the door of salvation was now opened. Look with me in let me just quote it. John chapter 10, verse 9. Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved." Jesus said, now the door of salvation, which is me, he said, "I am the door." All single syllable, right? "I am the door, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Okay? Listen to this verse, Revelation 3, verse 7. Jesus speaking, "These things saith he that is holy, he that is true. I have set before thee an open door." An open door. "Behold," verse 20, "I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." Listen, beloved, Jesus Christ is the conqueror of death. In Revelation 1:18, he said, "I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death." Do you realize that Jesus Christ holds the keys to all of the doors? The question is, does he hold the key to your heart this morning? Have you allowed him to have access to the door of your heart and to sit upon the throne of your heart and rule and reign as Lord and Master? See, you can be saved and not give him lordship over your life. You're still saved. Don't listen to these guys that preach lordship salvation. That's just adding works to salvation. Salvation is a free gift. You ask Jesus Christ to save you, he will. He will. That's why he died, to save you. Lordship is a whole other situation where you surrender to his authority over every area of your life. Now, in closing, let me give you this. During the French... I'm so glad for these openings of the resurrection. During the French Revolution, some infidel said to Talleyrand, who was pastor at Arden, "The Christian religion, what is it? It would be easy to start such a religion like that." "Oh yes," Talleyrand replied, "one would only have to get crucified, be buried, and rise again from the dead after 3 days." The infidel was silent. Spurgeon once said, "The empty tomb had a message for the disciples, as it has for us today. It says to science and philosophy, explain this event. It says to history, repeat this event. It says to time, blot out this event. It says to faith, believe this event. Believe this event." Oh, beloved, how critical it is that we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because that's where the devil was defeated. That's where heaven's gates were opened. That's where your ticket to eternal life in heaven above was finally opened by Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, how we thank you for the seven openings of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Lord, how we thank you that because of these seven openings, if we die before the rapture, one day our grave will be opened. We'll receive a glorified body. We'll be with you forever. Because of the new covenant being opened, we have the forgiveness of sins by the blood of your cross. Lord, because of the open tomb, we serve a risen, living, and coming Savior. Lord, we're so thankful for the seven openings of the resurrection. They are precious to us who believe. And Father, our hearts are burdened this morning because we know that there are multitudes, even a few billion souls on planet Earth that do not believe, that have not received, that do not conceive or comprehend of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Lord, their only hope is to come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you would help us by your Holy Spirit to preach it from the rooftops. Jesus saves! Jesus saves. Lord, till our dying breath, let us send out the gospel message of love and salvation in the resurrected Son of God. We thank you, Lord, that there's only one place to receive it, and that is in Jesus Christ. We love you. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals and stand for a time of invitation this morning. And let's open up to, oh yes, hymn 88. Because of this resurrection, one day, those of us who believe it will be gathered together up yonder. Let's sing about that. Hymn 88. Shall we gather at the river? Yes, if you're saved, you shall. That's the good news today. First, third, and fourth. And let's sing. Altar is open.
Shall we gather at the river where bright angels meet above? Within crystal tide forever flowing by.
Church, what a blessing to know that one day we'll be gathered up yonder, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. No more gospel tracts to give out, girls. No more soul winning. No more door knocking. No more inviting people to church. We'll just be forever with the Lord. Oh, what a blessing that'll be. Tonight at 6 o'clock, if you can join us, we will be here, and we will be looking at the 8 mysteries of the New Testament once again. And Brother Cal, I'm going to ask you to dismiss us in prayer today, if you're able there, brother, faithful treasurer.
Lord, we thank you for providing for us on a daily basis, Lord, always being here with us, Lord. We know you're always faithful to us, and pray, Lord, that you help us to be always faithful to you. We thank you, Lord, for the salvation you provide to us ever so freely, and help us and everyone to understand that it is free. There's nothing we have to do. There's no way we can earn it. All we have to do is show faith and ask. And just come to you, Lord, and just ask that you ask for that salvation that you so freely bestow upon us. And then do our best, Lord, to try and understand and study your word and just become very well versed in it, Lord. We thank you for being with us, for guiding us, for helping us, Lord, each day that we go, for protecting us, for keeping us out of harm's way, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, you'd be with us as we go through each day and keep us under the shadow of your wing and out of harm's way. We ask you, Lord, to just guide us along our way, keep us safe, bring us back safely at the next gathering of our Lord.
In Jesus' name. Amen, amen.